All right, it's time for another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. We're going to go over to CCM Health in Montevideo this morning and visit with Jennifer Briest. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, and do you like the transition from summer to fall?
Oh, definitely. Fall's my favorite time of year.
It is.
It is?
All right. Well, winter's mine, so we could have a discussion about that afterwards, I guess.
Yeah. So I imagine we're both happy right now.
All right. Jennifer, what is your title at CCM Health?
Well, I'm a clinical social worker, and so at CCM we have a behavioral health department, which we treat mental health conditions and issues. I'm a LICSW, or Licensed Independent Clinical Social Worker, so essentially a social worker with advanced training to do therapy.
Okay.
I'm also an LADC, so I'm a Licensed Alcohol and Drug Counselor.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, before we start talking about our subject this morning, Jennifer, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, family, and your education and stuff.
Okay. Well, I've been living in Montevideo since 2005, raised my kids here. I'm married. My children are 20 and 18, so I just became an empty nester, so I have a lot of mixed feelings about that.
Yeah.
Some sadness, also some relief.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been working at CCM for 2 years as a psychotherapist and clinical social worker. I've worked in the mental health field since 2011. I attended Augsburg College. I received my MSW in Multicultural Clinical Social Work. And there was a focus on the clinical part, so the therapy part. I got my undergraduate degree at Concordia College in Moorhead. I was an English major with a creative writing emphasis, so... Kind of an interesting combination.
Yeah, I was going to say, English major to a clinical.
Yeah, so there's no excuse for me not to do good progress notes and documentation, I guess.
There you go. That's good. I could use some of that. You probably could mentor me in a little English, I think. So, all right, great. What's our subject for today? What we're going to talk about, Jennifer?
Well, so September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month across the nation. So we wanted to focus on some things regarding suicide, risk factors, warning signs, protective factors, and prevention measures for suicide. Also, the type of services that are offered at CCM Health in our community and across the nation. That people can access if they're experiencing some suicidal thoughts or intentions.
Okay. Jennifer, what are some statistics about suicide? I know it's not good, is it?
Well, it's interesting because, nationally, we've been following the trends since before the pandemic. So in 2018, between 2010 and 2018 in the United States, there was a 35% increase in suicides, and that would be people who completed or died by suicide. That's not accounting for people who attempted. And then in 2020, we started seeing a decline in suicides again to kind of right around the area that things were about in 2016. So we know that in the United States, as of 2022, about 1.4 million adults attempt suicide.
Mm.
And over 46,000 people die by suicide every year in the United States. So that accounts for about 130 people a day or every 15 minutes.
Mm. What are our demographics, Jennifer?
Well, the highest rate of suicide we see in people who are ages 25 to 34. And then also in the 75 to 84 age range. And the people who have the highest death rate by suicide are actually 85 years and older. So I think that's a demographic that we don't often think about. We think about, youth at risk or young adults who are struggling. But some of the highest suicide rates occur in those who are like 75 plus.
Why do you think that is, Jennifer?
Well, I know in my own practice, I do notice that when people experience medical crises or loss of health and well-being, they lose loved ones. People struggle if they're not able to work. They feel they've lost their sense of purpose and self-worth. And also, a lot of people live in chronic pain. So people, and this is particularly with males, and white males tend to have a higher rate of suicide than other people. Yeah.
Talk about some of the risk and protective factors, Jennifer.
Okay. Well, first of all, like some of the warning signs that we look for is we look for people who begin to talk like they're a burden, their family would be better off without them. That's a really strong belief that people have when they're contemplating taking their life. Social isolation is a big one. People might start talking about feeling trapped with pain, with financial worries, with problems that seem insurmountable. We also look for people who might be increasing their substance use. So they're drinking more. Oftentimes that leads to more social isolation as well. One thing, too, is people's access to lethal means of completing suicide, such as firearms. Are they looking for ways to access firearms? Are we noticing, are the firearms being kept protected in the home? People often will begin to express a sense of hopelessness, like life doesn't matter anymore. I've heard this, all my friends have passed away, my parents have passed away, like all the people that they feel that supported and loved them. Okay. We also will notice that people may begin to sleep a lot or they are not sleeping enough. And especially among people who are, they access social media, they might start posting things like they just want to die, they don't want to be around anymore, nobody loves them, warning signs like that. So there are a lot of different kinds of risk factors involved. You have some individual ones, like have they had a previous suicide attempt before? Is there a history of depression or other mental health issues? You know, are people having maybe some criminal or legal issues, job loss, financial stressors? Again, we always look for the substance use because there's in one in five suicides, there's alcohol-related as well.
Wow.
Is there a current history of, like, childhood experiences such as abuse, neglect, or trauma? And there's a higher suicide rate among people who have experienced violence of any kind. Definitely the people who have been victims, but also people who perpetrate violence are at higher risk of suicide. Kind of like some of the relationship factors of increased suicide are bullying in the school systems, and not just in the school systems, because bullying doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't stop in when kids graduate. A lot of people experience it in the workplace.
Exactly.
Loss of relationships through death, divorce, separation, high conflict or violent relationships, and just social isolation overall are relationship risk factors. Some community risk factors. This is something that we do notice is if there is a suicide in the community, they can often occur in clusters. Like there's somewhat of an effect of that it's considered to be a bit contagious. So like if there is a suicide in the community, we really have to be mindful that there will be increased suicide risk for cluster or repeat suicides.
Wow. Okay.
Community violence, historical trauma, catastrophic events in communities, discrimination, things like that.
Okay.
So some people experience lack of access to health care.
Right.
So that's also a risk factor. And with adequate or access to medical services, mental health services are embedded in that. You know, suicides are preventable.
I have one question as we're going to close it out here, Jennifer. You know, family members, you know, if they're concerned about a loved one maybe taking their life and stuff like that, that's a tough thing to navigate through. Some advice you'd give to family members that are really concerned about a loved one?
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes people get the idea that if you talk about it, it could make it happen more. And so actually studies show that verbalizing and being able to talk about things actually reduces the suicide rate, the completion rate and the attempt rate. So if a loved one is seeming, if they're making comments or they're seeming off, you can just ask them directly, openly and honestly and directly to say, you know, I'm having some concerns about some things I'm noticing. Have you been having any thoughts of taking your own life, of harming yourself? So that would be the number one thing. And then just being, you know, warm, supportive. Don't assume that they're just kind of faking it or trying to get attention. But really view it as a crisis, as a family member. And just like if people are having breathing issues or heart issues, they get them to the emergency room so that people can be evaluated by a doctor to see if they need some extra care, some crisis care, a safety hold of some kind. So just treating it like any other, like a medical emergency or symptom.
Okay.
Yep.
That's right. Well, if you're just tuning in to Wellness Wednesday, we're talking to Jennifer Briest from CCM Health. She's a clinical social worker, and we're talking about, Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And Jennifer, we just kind of recognize some of the signs and symptoms there, but CCM Health is being very proactive and have a lot of programs for prevention to help people, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
All right, so for suicide prevention interventions, CCM Health, we have like different layers of care. Number one, we do have our emergency department or emergency services. So if anybody's feeling at risk or if they're having some thoughts or if maybe even if they've gestured or tried to make an attempt to access that care immediately in the emergency room. Our primary care providers also, their staff are trained to screen for depression symptoms, particularly thoughts of being better off dead or of wanting to harm themselves in some way. And anybody that has a positive response or a positive answer to that on the standard screener will be referred to our behavioral health services for consultation and care. CCM offers a behavioral health department or services that includes, we have a psychiatric nurse practitioner. Her name is Lori Lima, and so she diagnoses and assesses and prescribes for mental health concerns. We have two psychotherapists. Kate Fitzkappas is a licensed independent clinical social worker along with me, and she specializes in treating children and adolescents, but she sees people of all ages. We have a psychiatric mental health nurse on our staff, and she can do any number of things. Like I know a lot of nurses will contact her or consult with her if there are any concerns related to a patient that a primary care provider is seeing. And then Kelsey Gritmacher is our intake coordinator, so she manages the behavioral health schedules and really tries to get people into access care, especially on an urgent care basis. And our behavioral health staff, we try to keep several slots open a day in order to, for people to be able to access urgent care or crisis sessions with us. I know community-wide, of course, there's 911. We have the police and sheriff's department. Woodland Center's mobile crisis team is wonderful. They can be accessed at any time. Their number is 1-800-432-8781. And also, this summer, on a national level, there has been a new mental health emergency. It's called the National Lifeline. So for people who are in any kind of crisis or mental health crisis, they can call 988. So it's kind of like the 911 for mental health or crisis concerns.
Okay.
Minnesota also has a text line. So you text MN to the number 741-741. And people can access, especially young people who generally like to text a lot, they find this a very helpful service. Just you can get in touch with a mental health professional or a crisis counselor of some kind and talk through your concerns.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of help out there, isn't there, Jennifer?
You know, there really is, and I wonder if that doesn't account for the decline that we started seeing in suicide rates since 2018.
Right. All right, real good, Jennifer. Well, a lot of wealth of information there. We appreciate what you do and the team over there at CCM Health, and it's just talk about it, right? And it's what September is, Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. So.
Yep, and education is power. The more that you know, the more that you can prevent.
Right. Yeah. All right, thank you, Jennifer, for being on Wellness All Wednesday right. this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
That's Jennifer Briest, a clinical social worker from CCM Health, and this has been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.